guys, and welcome to Odds On World Cup Qualifiers in Europe. We have another games now that we are going to analyze. There are so many games and few interesting ones. So let's talk with Dani Fisichella. And of course, I want to know your opinion. So let me know what you think also in the comment section. And don't forget to click on the like if you enjoy our videos. Subscribe and click on the bell to get notifications. And now let's go on with the show. After the Euro, we are back with the international break and we are going to analyze the best 10 games we have in the middle of the week in the road to Qatar with Dani Fisichella. As always, how are you, Dani?
Ciao, Edu. It's all great. So, yes, the leagues have started two or three games in each of the major leagues, but now three fixtures that are really, really important are going to be crucial for the teams that have to want to qualify for the Qatar World Cup. Some very interesting games as well.
Yes, let's start with the games we have on Wednesday, starting with Group F. We have Denmark, Scotland. Denmark first with 9 points, Scotland second with 5 points. Two teams that we watched them in the Euro, and especially with Denmark, we really enjoyed them. Was one of the biggest surprise of the Euro, but also, Dani, they are making it really well in the road to Qatar. No goals conceded yet, all victories, including a 0-4 victory against Austria. That's why, and also thinking about Scotland, the role they had in the Euro, no victories for them. Of course, here the odds are quite low, actually, for Denmark, very favorite odds, 1.51.
And, you know, with Denmark, we admire the fact that the Euro, this was one of the teams that created the most chances in front of the opposition goals, one of the teams that crossed the most, shot with more shots. They always seem to conclude the action with an outcome. So this is a very threatening team that's got a lot of firepower up front, a compact 3-5-2. The wing backs are crucial, very important, especially Maele, who plays for Atalanta, also on the other side, Strigger Larsen. Damsgaard in the middle of the field, he is the man of the moment. Good start of the season with Sampdoria. Load of teams in the Premier League wants it, and also Braithwaite at Barcelona, he's holding his own, he's finding more space now, obviously without Messi, so it's also in the lineup there. Denmark impressive in the qualifiers, scored 14 goals, 3 clean sheets, and in this round of fixture they can actually wrap up the qualification, because after Scotland then they play Farer and then they play Israel, so they really can have the tickets for Qatar already by the end of this round of fixtures. With Scotland, the Euros was not disappointing, because in the end they managed to held England to 0-0, but I think against teams of better quality, especially playing at home, they could have done a little bit better. I think they struggled to control games, especially against the Czech. That was the game they should have targeted. They were hit on the break far too many times. Changes of goalkeepers, interesting for the Scottish team. Now that we mentioned the game against Czech Republic, David Marshall, the keeper who conceded that goal from Schick from the halfway line, he's not been in the squad. John McLaughlin as well are out. So Marshall basically is out of favour at Derby County. So the in goal will be Craig Gordon of Hearts. What decent start of the season. They pick up, 10 points in 4 games. They will be without McTominay, who's slightly injured. So the real question for Scotland is up front. Who's going to deliver? Who's going to score the goal? Che Adams is in form at Southampton, score against Manchester United 2 weeks ago. And then who's going to be his partner? We saw Lyndon Dykes at the Euros, very useful, runs around a lot. It's can be quite amusing for the defenders, but not a great goal scorer. Ryan Christie at Celtic, not a great start of the season for them either beaten in the Old Firm yesterday. So yes, I think Scotland, although they kept three clean sheets in the last eight games, but let's not forget, apart from the historical 0-0 at Wembley, the other two were against Faroe and Luxembourg. They are the weakest team. Denmark to win the first half, 2-0-5.
Then let's go to Group D. We have interesting game, France-Bosnia. Bosnia fighting for the second place. It's very open, actually. We have Ukraine with 3 points, Finland with two, and Bosnia with one, fighting for that second place, because the first one, I guess, is going to be for France. But, Danny, France actually suffered in this road to Qatar. They were held at home against Ukraine, and they suffered to beat away Bosnia and Kazakhstan. It's not easy to win in Sarajevo. And of course, also very interesting to see France bouncing back, I guess, after the disappointment of the Euro, where they were huge favorites and they lost in the penalty shootout against Switzerland. And the man of the week, of course, Mbappé, will be in Clairefontaine training with France and, I guess, also playing for France.
Yeah, he will definitely play for France. We don't know which club is going to play from September onwards. I think he's still going to play for PSG. But he is the man at the moment, of course. He's got loads of responsibilities on his shoulders. And, you know, it was a shocking defeat against the Swiss. Deschamps took responsibility for that. The change of formation, playing with three at the back, with Rabiot as a left wing back, I think it still hurts Deschamps, which, you know, anyway, hasn't called Rabiot, so he makes sure he doesn't repeat the mistake of playing left on the wide. You know, it's also true that in that game France had a lot of injuries, but yes, I think they were set up wrongly against Switzerland. So where does France restart from? Pretty much the same group that they had at the Euros. No space for Giroud, despite a very good start of the season with Milan yesterday, to goal. And there are a couple of new names. Jordan Veretout is in the squad. Aurélien Tchouaméni of Monaco is in the squad. Very interesting player. Last year was first for tackles and possession once in the five major leagues. Maybe they found the new N'Golo Kante. So they obviously blessed with talent, France. We always said that they could almost fill two teams of equal strength. It's about finding, putting the right people in the right space and, you know, finding the right tactic and having the right mindset. But I think for this one, France are hugely favorite also, because if you look at the odds, yeah, you need to go Asian handicap -2 to find any value. France always scored since October 2020. They already won the reverse fixture in Bosnia 1-0, suffering, but, you know, they didn't look like conceding that. And they play a Bosnia team that, if you look at the stats, quite awful. They haven't scored in seven of the last nine games. No win in 12 games is a lot. It's more than a year, basically, for the international fixtures. They miss on the Euros after losing the playoff against Northern Ireland. It is a Bosnia team that, after Brazil 2014, is looking for a new generation, looking for new players, but they're still hanging on with Dzeko and Pjanic. So that tells you a lot if, you know, a 35-year-old striker, who, by the way, started well with Inter, but how much can you ask from him, especially when you got three games in a week in quick succession? You must take a rest at some point. At the back, Kolasinac had an awful game at the Etihad against Manchester City. So, you know, I can't see a lot in this Bosnia team. As I said, the odds for France are low. France to score in both halves, that doubles your stake, pays two.
Then, of course, we have to back France here. You mentioned Veretout. What a great start also for Roma in this season with Jose Mourinho. But let's talk about Group G. And this is a very funny one. We have Turkey first with 7 points, then Netherlands, Montenegro, and Norway with six. So everything is very open. And the first game we are going to analyze is Norway Netherlands, 6 points for Norway because they beat Montenegro in their last official game after losing 0-3 against Turkey. But that game they didn't play it in Norway, actually they played in Malaga in the south of Spain, whereas the Netherlands, they were disappointing in the Euro. They changed the coach. This is the first game for Louis van Gaal coming back to the Orange. Danny, they lost 4-2 against Turkey, remember, in the first game in these qualifiers. This is a very important game, Norway-Netherlands.
And opposite to what I said about Bosnia, when you look at Norway, maybe you can see glimpses of a new generation of players arising. Obviously, everyone knows Holland, but there are others that are playing in major leagues in Europe. The last one, the last big thing is Matthias Norman, a midfielder, plays for Rostov, probably moving to the Premier League this week, going to play for Norwich, highly rated midfielders. And he's also got Ayer, who plays for Brentford, good start of the season. Odegaard back at Arsenal. And you know, there is a good crop of players, also comes from good scouting, good internal scouting. Bodø Glimt, the Norwegian team, has been one of the best teams to watch in the last few seasons in the Europa League. This year we play the Conference League. Last year, you know, I remember when they played against Milan, the midfielder Hoge shone in that game, went to Milan, and now he's back in the Bundesliga. They offloading, but you know, there is talent there in Norway. I wonder, you know, a few years ago we were all fascinated with Iceland. Now Iceland is not so cool anymore. Is Norway the new Iceland? I don't know. Don't tell the Nordic people. I know they got a lot of rivalry there. But, you know, I think there are promising signs for this group of players. Haaland scored 7 goals in 12 appearances with the national team, so he delivers also at this stage. But he's also to the Norway has lost 3 of the last 7 games. Always scoring 27 of the last 28 games. So this is a team, if you're looking at to bet on them to score or on the goal market, I think you can be pretty sure they're gonna deliver. The only time they didn't score is when, as you mentioned, they lost 3-0 at home, well, or in Malaga, to Turkey. Holland, new face, Louis van Gaal, and you know, the old new that returns, because he's been there already. He's not a new face, and replaces Frank de Boer. I think with Holland, what we saw at the Euros is they lack the tactical maturity. They lack the way to manage games when games don't go their way. The second goals that they conceded against the Czech Republic when they got knocked out, they were all over the place. The line of defense was too high. They didn't press properly. So yeah, I think they lack that international maturity, how to manage games. And probably Van Gaal, being a more experienced manager, will try to give them that. But however, the best news is that Van Dijk is back. You know, if they take out because of injury your best player, obviously your team is going to suffer. He's back. He's having a very good season so far with Liverpool. You know, on Saturday, I watched him marking Lukaku. Lukaku had a torrid time against him. Play well, Lukaku, but you know, between the two, Van Dijk was the winner. And recall for Bergwijn, again, good start with Spurs as well, which are top of the league. And Depay is in form with Barca. I think, difficult legacy, the one of Messi, but the Dutch is delivering. So on the pitch, the Dutch are covered. They got a lot of experience and players that are delivering. However, struggle to keep clean sheets, the Dutch, you know, exciting going forward, very good against small teams, but they only kept 4 clean sheets in the last 11. So I think this is going to be a tough one to call, but I'm going to go for goals, so both to score, 1.95.
Both to score, and in this group, it's also interesting, Turkey-Montenegro, as I said, Turkey 7 points, Montenegro 6, because Turkey was able to beat Netherlands and Norway, probably the two strongest teams in this group, but they fell to beat Latvia, only a 3-3 draw at home, and they were so disappointed in the Euro, probably the worst team, 0 points, only 1 goal scored. So let's see, Dan, if they bounce back against Montenegro. It's true that they have 6 points, but it's also true that these 6 points came from beating Latvia and, of course, Gibraltar.
The problem with Turkey at the Euro was the inexperience at international level. They got a lot of young players, especially at the back. You look at Soyuncu, you look at Demiral. We thought they were going to be better in a competition such as the Euro, in a short competition, they weren't. I think they paid the toll of not having played a lot of those games, a lot of high-pressure games, you know, tournament management, especially when I mentioned Soyuncu and Demiral. These are two players that have got all the means to become top defenders. They need However, they need to keep their head cool. They need to calm down. Sometimes they rush into tackle. They concede stupid fouls. They concede penalties. So I think, and that obviously unsettles the entire team. So now the task for Senol Güneş, the manager, is to calm things down, give them obviously more opportunity to play, a little bit more of freedom as well, because, you know, in a competition like as the qualifiers, if you don't win a game, it's not the end of the day, you still got time to make up for it. Whereas in a competition like Euro, once you lose the first game, you're pretty much out, and that's what happened. Let's say not much has changed since the summer. It's the same group of players, Çalhanoğlu on the middle of the pitch, his swap team, Milan for Inter, had an okay start of the season, very good in the first game, so-so in the second one against Verona, depends on his form, because sometimes, you know, it goes up and down. But if we forget the Euros, let's imagine the Euros never happened. Turkey only lost one of the last 18 games, so they are in a very good streak of result. Won in Norway, drew with one with France a few months ago, so it's a team that has proven, and we thought they were going to be better on the international stage. They play Montenegro at home. Montenegro, they look beaten on paper. It's again a team that 5 or 6 years ago, they were at a certain level. I would say they were in between the top team and the middle team. It was a team that you could say, okay, they can come second in your group. Now they seem to have come down a notch. And, you know, best player is Jovetic. He moved to Hertha Berlin this summer, only 31 years old. I thought he was 45, you know, because he's been going on forever. No wins in three games for Montenegro. The Asian handicap market is appealing. -1 for Turkey, 208.
Actually, but a start also for Hertha Berlin in the Bundesliga. Then Portugal, Ireland. This is Group A, and here it looks like Portugal and Serbia are going to fight for the first position, because Ireland once upon a time was a good club, but now they have 0 points. They lost to Serbia. This can happen, 3-2. But also at home against Luxembourg, and this cannot happen definitely, Danny. And of course, all the eyes with Portugal are always on Cristiano Ronaldo, but probably now even more, of course, this is going to be his first games as a Red Devil again. Portugal, they have 7 points because they drew against Serbia and, well, they beat Azerbaijan and Luxembourg, something that they must do. Let's see how you find value, because the odds are very low for Portugal.
Absolutely, this is it was one of the lowest odds in this group of fixtures with the analyze. I think the value is on a win for Portugal, on a convincing win, because they play an Ireland side that hasn't scored in 8 of the last 11 internationals, and they lost to Luxembourg. Yeah, they don't seem to score a lot. Stephen Kenny, the manager, I think he's got quite a task in hand. They need to rebuild the team, but for this round of fixture, his midfielders are all in their 30s. They're very experienced at a British level, League One, Championship, a bit of Premier League scatter here and there, but not at international level. Ireland has got a couple of interesting youngsters, I must say. Adam Ida and Obamidele both play for Norwich, both play at the weekend, but can they establish themselves as regular starters for Kenny? So for this round of fixtures for Ireland, the team spirit is more important than anything. We saw it before with Northern Ireland, we saw with Scotland as well. Perhaps they are not blessed with a lot of talent, although I think they got more than Ireland, but when they come together, when they gel, and when they show team spirit, they can achieve things beyond their means. For Portugal, I think these qualifiers will be important for Fernando Santos to try to rejuvenate the team a little bit, especially in defense. I'm sure there must be in the ranks a younger defender than Pepe. I mean, he's 38. He's going to start a couple of games with Ruben Dias, I'm sure. But maybe this is the chance to give maybe Pereira from Leicester a couple of starters more. And really curious to see if Andre Silva, who moved to Leipzig, going to get more minutes in these qualifiers than what he did at the Euros. We know there is that cannibal of Ronaldo that wants to be there, wants to be in the area. But could they try and play with another striker next to him? André Silva had a very good season last year, and they expect a lot from him at Leipzig. But anyway, for this game, he's going for a convincing win of Portugal. Half-time, full-time Portugal, I'm afraid the odds are not very high, 1.91.
Well, but it's something because it's difficult, as you said, finding good value here. Tricky group is Group H. A lot of teams have options here right now. Croatia is the top of the group with 6 points, the same points as Russia, and they are playing in the Luzhniki Stadium. Russia, they beat Malta and Slovenia, but lost against Slovakia. And we all know that their Euros was not the best. Whereas Croatia, Danny, we always say that this is an old group, but in the Euros, they still show that they are very, very competitive. They have 6 points because they lost their opening game against Slovenia, 1-0, and then they beat Cyprus and Malta, so games that of course they have to win, and this is a key one for Croatia actually.
And this is the first time they will be without Luka Modric. He has retired from international duties with Croatia, so he's missing this one unless he makes a late comeback. A good midfielder for Croatia. I wonder, that's a bit slow. There is not a lot of pace between Brozovic and Kovacic. I don't know. I think they might need something a little bit more dynamic. And also the problem with Croatia, they are still without a proven goal scorer. The top scorer is Perisic, who scored 30 goals in over 100 games for the national team, so it's not a great return. So for this one, they're trying maybe something else. There is a late call for Antonio Kolak of Malmo. He's done well in the Champions League qualifiers, big tall strikers. He's proved to be very useful. So as you said, Croatia needs to rejuvenate a little bit more their ranks. The most promising player is Josko Vardiol, 19 years old. He moved to Leipzig, was one of the surprises of the Euros. And you know, the Croatian football movement at the moment, I think it took a little bit of a beating, you know, in this summer. Dinamo Zagreb knocked out by Sheriff Tiraspol. We weren't expecting that. There are a couple of Dinamo Zagreb players led by Orisic in this side. Tricky trip for Croatia because they go to Russia, who are under a new manager, Valeri Karpin, former Valencia Real Sociedad player. He played also in Russia, recently managed Rostov, who finished mid-table in the Russian league. And he has to again re-inspire this generation of players. They were, first of all, one of the worst defense in Euros for sure, and also very uninspiring. They lack the spark, they lack the talent. I know they got Golovin there, who's doing okay with Monaco, but they need a little bit more. No Zhuba, no Artem Zhuba, the captain. Karpin didn't call him, so they'll be without the main man, the target man. Maybe it's a good thing, you know, can bring something a little bit different, maybe a chance for Smolov to play more minutes than what he did at the Euros. You know, many players are from the Russian league. Yeah, it's a fresh start for them. I'm going to be cautious with this one because I think this is really, really tough to call. Russia, Asian handicap 0 in the first half. I'm extremely cautious. That pays 2.8. So basically, if the first half is a draw, you get your money back. If Russia wins the first half, you're winning 2.8. If Croatia wins the first half, you will lose.
Actually, also the draw at full time is not bad, 3.7, because it's very tough to call. Valeri Karpin, what a character, what a player. Karpin and Mostovoy, we enjoyed them in La Liga many years. Then in this also group, difficult as well to call. Slovakia, they have 3 points because they beat Croatia, then they lost to Russia, something that can happen, but they lost also against Cyprus 1-0, whereas Slovakia, they showed in the Euro that they can be able to beat a team like Poland, but also they can be completely awful like they were against Spain. And also in these qualifiers, Danny, they were able to beat Russia, but also they were able to draw against Cyprus and Malta. So it's a team so difficult to read. That's why I think this game is so difficult also to gamble.
Slovenia, Slovakia, I bet there are a lot of people that can tell these nations apart. And I bet anyone to tell me what's the flag of Slovenia, what's the flag of Slovakia. But this for another time. Slovenia kept 7 clean sheets in the last 11 games. So that's a positive for them. Probably because they got one of the best keepers, you know, in Europe, which is Oblak. Organized team, not very spectacular. In fact, they rarely score more than one goal in the last 3 years. As you mentioned, beat Croatia 1-0. That was a big surprise. Keyman could be Andras Sporar. He won the league with Sporting Club de Portugal, but now he's on loan at Braga. Hasn't scored many for his national teams either. A lot will depend on the form of Josip Ilicic. We mentioned also when we talk about Atalanta, this mercurial player, this deep line midfielder, a bit of a striker, a bit of a midfielder, a sort of Harry Kane of the East. He likes to play a bit deeper. If he's in form, the game can change. If he's so, the team struggle. And the beginning of the season for Ilicic and Atalanta has not been great so far. Slovakia, disappointing at the Euros because they didn't seem to have a plan B. They only had the plan A, which was defend with 9 men under behind the ball. And then when they had the opportunity to hit on the counter or to play, they didn't. They got beaten 5-0 by Spain. It could have been more. So I think in the end, it was quite embarrassing. They have a decent midfield with Hamsik, who moved to Turkey. They got Weiss, Lobotka, plays for Napoli, Duda. So, I mean, they got quality there. I think they can really make the game ugly for any opposition, but not enough up front. I think it's more likely that Skriniar, the Inter defender, comes up to a corner, score a goal, rather than one of the attacker scores for Slovakia, who, you know, they drew 0-0 with Cyprus recently. Score only 7 goals in the last 8 games. I don't think it's enough at this level. Slovenia clean sheet, as I said, 7 clean sheets in the last 11. Slovenia clean sheet, 250.
Then let's move to the games we have on Thursday, starting with the Euro champion, Italy. They are playing at home against Bulgaria in the Artemio Franchi, so they can celebrate the championship with their supporters. And Italy so far, Danny, spotless in this road to Qatar. 3 victories, 3 clean sheets, including the one against Bulgaria in Sofia. Every single game was a 2-0 victory. So here maybe it's also good to go for Italy to win 2-0, because Bulgaria, as we all know, they've been poor the last few years. They've got only 1 point, the draw against Northern Ireland.
Odds are very low, extremely low for Italy, who plays at Florence this game. And you know, Mancini, it's starting basically with the same group that won the Euros. He called up to 35 players for these 3 round of fixtures. Very interesting. Zaniolo is back on the team. He's going to be the man that should fit into this team seamlessly on a 4-3-3, playing out wide on the left to give you much more options up front. And the good news for Mancini is also that Immobile, since Sarri has joined Lazio, he's scoring again. Score a hat-trick at the weekend, score another goal at Empoli, so he's in form again. So it seems that, you know, he's found his mojo back again. There is a strong group of Italy's players that play for Juventus. Now that Locatelli has moved there, they will want to forget what happened last weekend against Empoli and put, you know, that aside and concentrate on the opportunity to qualify early, as I said, because, you know, then they play Switzerland. It's a key game in three days' time, and then Lithuania. But again, Italy can have their ticket for Qatar already by the end of this round of fixtures. So they are very strong. They have an unbeaten record that goes back to 2018. So I almost lost the count how many games are unbeaten. I think around 28 or something. You know, already beaten 2-0 in Sofia, Bulgaria, before the Euros. It wasn't a spectacular game, but Italy never looked like they were conceding or losing that one. And with Bulgaria, again, similar when we said about Montenegro before, this is a team that maybe 10, 12 years ago, you would have said, yeah, they could finish second in the group or maybe go to the playoff. But again, they come down a notch. The Bulgarian football movement hasn't produced enough talents recently. Also, we saw Ludogorets crashing out of the Champions League qualifiers against Malmo, where they were, I think they were favorites beforehand. So Bulgaria hasn't won a game since November 2019. Sometimes they get beaten quite soundly by top teams. I remember a 6-0 defeat at Wembley not too long ago, and they only score, Bulgaria, one goal in the last five games. That's why the odds for an Italy clean sheets are low. So you have to be creative. Italy, Asian handicap, -1 in the first half. So if the first half has to finish 2-0 or more for Italy, for you to win the stake, finish 1-0, you get your money back. The odds are 1.99.
Well, it's not bad. Yeah, we're finding the value there. Then we have Sweden, Spain. This is a very important game for both because they are fighting to get the first spot of their group. And actually, they met in the Euros and was a goalless draw. So it's not an easy trip for Spain that is been suffering a little bit in this qualification. They got a draw at home against Greece, and then they struggled a lot to beat Georgia on the road. Also, they were not convincing against Kosovo, 3-1 victory, whereas Sweden, also victories for them against Georgia and Kosovo. They've only played two games. That's why, Danny, if Spain loses this game, they are going to be in trouble to get in the first spot of this group.
Spain is a team that is growing. We saw Luis Enrique, the way his ideas put it on the pitch, always making attacking changes, always want to keep the possession, playing in the opposition half. And I think that Spain had a positive summer. If you look at the way they play against Italy, especially in the second half and in the extra time at the Euros, yes, they lost in penalties, but they held their own very well. At times, they dominated Italy as expected. Also, Spain picked up a silver medal at the Tokyo Olympics. There were a few senior players there. So overall, a good summer for these players. And again, this is going to add to their international experience. So I think for Qatar, they're going to be much more prepared to play in a tournament. And also to break down teams like Sweden that at the Euros made them suffer in a way. And Spain didn't have the game management to move the ball quicker, to find the space, to find some runs in behind. And actually, in the end, Sweden had a couple of chances with Isaac and Berg. So in the end, both teams could have scored. For Luis Enrique, as I said, he sticks to his philosophy, hasn't called any Real Madrid players again. A lot of hope will be on Gerard Moreno. He should start the game. Morata has been more miss than hit so far at Juventus. I'm curious to see if Adama Traore, who had a very good game yesterday against Manchester United, might start. Scored Spain in 11 of the last 13 games. And when it comes to Sweden, I think they were unlucky to be knocked out in the last minute of the extra time by Ukraine, but they were one of the surprises of the Euros, especially when they played with two up front, with Isak, that Spanish supporters know very well for his good time at Real Sociedad. Kulusevski probably going to start up front again. Berg is not being called up this time. Probably he's leaving the national team after playing so many games. And I think, you know, the manager, Jan Andersson, has created a good group, nurturing some of the players that won the Euro 21 championship long ago, six, seven times ago. They will be without Sebastian Larsson, again, great journeyman, over 130 caps, retired from the national team. They will be without Ibrahimovic because he's been injured. But as I said, looking at the game at the Euros where they both have chances, I think Spain are going to be more mature and they will find a way to score. Sweden are a threat, both to score, 2-5.
Both to score. And our last next game is gonna be in Budapest in the Ferenc Puskas Arena, Hungary, England. Tricky trip, this one for England. The odds 1.5, in my opinion, are very low because Hungary already showed in the Euros what they are capable of doing, especially playing at home. Remember that they got a draw against France or Germany, and in this road to Qatar, they have already 7 points, for instance, drawing against Poland, whereas England, Danny, they have to bounce back after losing the final of the Euro. Overall, of course, it's very positive what Southgate is doing, semi-finals in the World Cup, final in the Euro, so the cycle goes to Doha, goes to Qatar. Let's see if they can get the 3 points out of Budapest.
It will be tough because Hungary, we saw it at the Euros at home with a crowd, crowded inside them a lot, very passionate. They can beat anyone, they can trouble anyone. And this time, Marco Rossi, the Italian manager, is going to have back his best player, Dominic Szoboszlai, who missed the Euros because of an injury. So I think Hungary are a physical team, well set up on a 3-5-2 formation, run a lot. The midfield can also look after the ball, and now they got the talent of Szoboszlai up front. So England needs to be careful, especially in the first half. But we know that England are normally good in this type of games. Now they've become a team that can see out opposition that are less they've got less quality than them. And in fact, actually, England surprised us all at the Euros when we saw them so hard to beat. We didn't think they were so defensively minded and so defensively drilled. I'm wondering whether Southgate is going to go again with the 3-5-2 that he had in the final against Italy, or with the 4-3-3 that he deployed before in the tournament. But most importantly, is England going to have that spark, that creativity? I think to do the next step, they need to deploy a midfield that doesn't only pass the ball sideways, but can break the line, can create a little bit more. So I think Grealish is going to start up front, because, I mean, it's been great for Man City so far. But who else in midfield can change the thing? Is it going to be, again, Calvin Phillips and Declan Rice, maybe Jordan Henderson? I don't think the answer is there. Maybe more opportunities for Jude Bellingham. We'll see. They will be hard to beat. I think they'll qualify easily for Qatar, but these games should help Southgate find different solutions against technically gifted teams. So in the selection of the team, Southgate pretty much has called the same players that were at the Euros. It is a first call up in the national team from Patrick Bamford, scored yesterday, 17 goals last season. I don't think he's going to start this one because Harry Kane also is in form. Trent Alexander-Arnold is back, so he should take the place at right back. And, you know, England obviously have got much more options in that department. No Rashford, no Foden, they are injured. As I said, the odds are too low for England to go for them. You have to be creative. Hungary at home, you know, I start thinking they could upset the odds. First half, double chance, 1x, 1.8.
We have Asian Handicap plus one for Hungary, for instance, 2.2. If someone thinks that they can get something in this game, or even if they lose for one goal, you will get your money back. These are good odds. Everything going for Hungary actually gives us good odds here. Then, Danny, let's see your ACA after your great analysis, as always, of these 10 interesting games in the Eurozone.
I chose the best 5 games, the best thought to try to make up an ACA that is interesting for you. France, Asian Handicap minus 1.5. Norway, Holland over 1.5 goals. Portugal to score in the first half and in the second half. Turkey to win against Montenegro. And Italy to beat 2-0 Bulgaria. The total odds are 11.61.
Okay, Danny, thank you very much. Let's enjoy these games and see you on Friday. We have another round of fixtures. See you.
Ciao, Edu. See you soon. Bye-bye.
We've analyzed now the 10 best games in Europe, but remember also that now you can check all Danny's tips in the screen, and also, of course, I want to know your opinion. Let me know what you think about these 10 games or any other in the comment section. And also, don't forget to click on the like, subscribe and click on the bell to get notifications. Or if you prefer, we have also a podcast for you. Thanks for watching and see you very soon with these World Cup qualifiers. Bye.